morning again, everybody. Good to see you. How y'all doing? Look at the person next to you and say, you look a lot better this week than you did last week. Let them know they're improving. Hey, glad for all those watching online with us today as well. We love you guys. Come on, church family, you're welcome. Just our online family as well today. So good. Awesome. Well, this morning, we're so pumped to have Corey Nichols from Destiny Rescue with us. I want to just plug real quick before I tell you about Corey, is that this, if you came in wondering kind of what's going on with the tents, today's a rally day for all of our small groups. And so one of the really just the backbone of this church is, man, not doing life alone. And so getting in a small group, doing life together. And so our summer semester is only 6 weeks, and so it's a shortened semester just because we know a lot of people travel during this time, but we think it's still really important, man, just to engage during this summer. And so I want to encourage you, make sure you sign up. If you already haven't, you can online or on the app. And then you can also connect with leaders out there underneath the tents. And so I want to encourage you to do that before you leave today. And also want to plug my group on Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. at Cosmos on Lima. I've got the mic, so I'm going to plug it. All right, Bros with Bacon, Bros and Bacon, all right, and with bacon, I guess. But Bros and Bacon. Jesus shows up where there's bacon. I just believe it. And so anyways, fellas, if you already have it, man, we'd love to have you 7 a.m. to 8. I've had a few guys ask, man, you know, I can only come for a half hour. That's fine. I think the half hour would benefit you. And so I'd encourage you to sign up, and myself and some of our other pastors actually going to be hanging with me too. And so I know we've got quite a bit already signing up. So we'll pack out Cosmos and have a good time on Tuesday morning. So I want to encourage you to do that. But there's a lot of other amazing groups, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Corey Nichols from Destiny Rescue, man, he's no stranger to this church, that's for sure. And what God did last year through Destiny Rescue was just absolutely amazing. I love getting the updates and just seeing what God's doing. And if you're new to our church or you're newer and you don't know, I've never heard of Destiny Rescue, one of the great ministries that they do is helping to rescue children who are being trafficked. And how many know that's such a problem in today's world? But I'm glad that we are on God's team and to help to provide an answer with an organization that I think is just doing it at an exceptional level through Destiny Rescue. And so Corey has been with Destiny Rescue for quite some time now, and really one of the spokesmen, does a great job, and he's got an amazing heart. Man, he brought just such a great message and then some great updates in our first service. So I know you guys will really be encouraged and blessed. And so we love you, Corey. We're so glad you're back. Man, he's ready. Let's go, everybody. Stand up and welcome Corey. Come on.
Elevate. It's an honor to be here today. It's family when I come here, so I'm just so grateful. I grew up in Fort Wayne. I've had the wonderful privilege of living around the world in Thailand and then on the West Coast, now in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a Southern boy now, so all y'all, how y'all doing? So anyways, what a wonderful privilege. Again, I work for Destiny Rescue, an international Christian-based nonprofit that's dedicated to rescuing and restoring children enslaved in sexual slavery. And I have the privilege of being a voice for our organization, the children that we're defending. I get to speak around the country and really around the world on behalf of what we do. And so it is an honor to be here to be able to give an update to you. But before we do that, I want to jump right into what I think is an important message for all of you in this church, and I think just for the body of Christ in general. But the title of my message is A Call to Persevere, Stay the Course. A Call to Persevere, Stay the Course. The word persevere means this: to continue in a course of action even in the face of difficulty or with no prospect of success. Here's some synonyms for the word persevere: to persist, to carry on, keep going, not give up, be persistent, be determined, see, follow something through, keep at it, show determination, press on, stay with something, be tenacious, be patient, stand one's ground, stand fast, hold on, go the distance, stay the course. If you have a dream from God, it will be tested. There'll be times that you're going to want to quit and give up, if not once, 1,000 times. And what happens on this journey between the fulfillment of what God promises and the initial stirring in your heart for the dream, you're going to go through a lot of things that you didn't think you would have to go through. It's going to take longer than you expected for the dream to be fulfilled. You're going to have critics that come along that will discourage you and say all kinds of things, and for no other reason, they're just against you. And you're scratching your head, how on earth could you be against me? And what happens to many of us is we find ourselves complaining to God. We find ourselves disillusioned by the fact that things don't look the way that you think they should look, and that you're going through a set of circumstances you didn't think that you should have to go through. You didn't sign up for them. And you're scratching your head. Is God still with me? What's going on? Many of us get upset with God and we say politely, up yours, God. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm frustrated. You know, we get bitter at people that come against us or say hurtful things to us. And the next thing you know, we're just sitting on the sidelines of our life, licking our wounds, giving God all the reasons why we can't do what he's asked us to do. And I'm here today to encourage you to persevere, to press on, to stay the course. Fulfill the dream God puts in you. What he says he's going to do, he is going to do. It may take longer than you think. It may be harder than you think. But with God, all things are possible, and he will fulfill his promise if you don't give up. The devil would want nothing more than to celebrate with you on the sidelines. For you to just sit there licking your wounds, he's like, yeah, that's good. Good job. Like, you're right. You were mistreated. You're right. They shouldn't have done that to you. In fact, you should just quit. Just sit over here. He would want nothing more. The Bible says this. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy you, to keep you from fulfilling the dream and purpose God has in you. Don't think that when you start aligning yourself with God and his mission and his purpose for you, that it will be easy. It will be very difficult. But that's why he's given us his Holy Spirit, to empower us for the journey, to be alongside us, to give us wisdom, to give us the courage and the strength and the tenacity not to give up and quit. Galatians 6:9 says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. There's an appointed time for the fulfillment of the dream. And if there's an appointed time or a right time, that means there's a wrong time. There's a wrong time. And many times we get out ahead of God and we get frustrated when things don't work out the way we think or in the time frame we think. And we're pushing and we're pushing and we're pushing. And the door's not opening. The door's not opening. The door's not opening. So then we get frustrated. And I want to encourage you that at the appointed time, you will reap the harvest of blessing, the fulfillment of the dream, if you don't give up. The key is don't give up. The key is to persevere, to stay the course, to do what God's put in your heart one day at a time, to be faithful with it. Between when God gives you a dream, the anointing, and the fulfillment of the dream, the appointing, there's a lot of in between. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph. I'm going to share about it in just a second. But in that in between, you're going to need to persevere and stay the course no matter what it looks like externally. It can look very bleak, like you don't even see that there's a way possible. And when you're up against the Red Sea, the good thing when you have God on your side, he can do what man can't. He can part the Red Sea, which had never been done before. He can do something in your life that's never been done before. And you have an opportunity to see the amazing hand of God do something that no man can do, but the living God can. The story of Joseph is about a story of a young man. He was 17 years old. He had this dream that God had given him, that one day his family would be under his leadership and his influence. He actually had two dreams, and they both were pretty much the same dream, and that he would be a person of great influence one day. And his brothers didn't like the fact that he was telling the dream to them, because that means they would be subject to him. So they were jealous and angry with him, and they sold him into slavery into Egypt at 17 years old to leave his family for good. And he was purchased by Potiphar, the captain of the guard in Pharaoh's kingdom. the most powerful nation on the earth in that time. And the Bible says that God was with Joseph and he flourished and he caused everything in Potiphar's house to flourish under the care of Joseph. And one day, well, multiple days, Potiphar's wife started having lustful eyes for Joseph and was looking to try to seduce him at every turn. And he kept saying, no, no, no. And then one day she was in the house alone with Joseph and tried to throw herself on him. And he said, I can't do this to my master and against God. No. And she grabbed a hold of his garment and he let go of his garment or got out of it and ran away as fast as he could. Well, she didn't like that. And so she went to her husband and said, he tried raping me. And her husband, being the captain of the guard, threw him into prison. And he was put in prison. And the Bible says again that God was with him, even though he was unjustly put in prison. The Bible says that God was with him. And while in prison, he began to flourish and was put into a level of responsibility, even in prison. And while there, the cupbearer and the baker that were part of Pharaoh's servants were put in prison for something. The Bible doesn't say why they were put there, but Pharaoh was not happy with them, so they ended up there. And while there, they each had a dream. And they were wrestling with the dream. They couldn't interpret what the dream was, so they told it to Joseph. Joseph said, tell me the dream. So they told Joseph the dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream that within 3 days, the cupbearer will be reinstored into his place of influence, serving wine to the king. But the baker will be impaled on a spearhead or of some kind, and he'll be killed. And sure enough, 3 days later, the dream happened exactly as it happened. And Joseph said to the cupbearer, remember me before Pharaoh. I was put here unjustly and sold into slavery unjustly. Please say something to Pharaoh. And the Bible says that 2 more years went by. 2 more years. Somebody say 2 more years. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like your dream should be coming to pass and it's just being delayed a little bit longer than you thought, and a little bit longer, and a little bit longer, and a little bit longer? That's where Joseph was. And he felt like he was like being robbed of what he felt God was putting in his heart. But he entrusted his life to God. There's purpose in the waiting. God's not trying to keep you from something. He's trying to develop you into something great. He's not trying to keep something from you. So if the door that you believe God's spoken to is not opening, then there's purpose in it. There's purpose in the pain you're going through. There's purpose in the challenge and the trial. There's purpose in learning to develop patience under trial, under duress. There's purpose in your critics. There's purpose in your enemies. God is working, doing a work in you so he can do a work through you. And if God is not opening that door for you, then there's trust God by faith that he has a plan. Before God can bring you to a place of prominence, he wants to develop you so that when you're in that place, you'll do great good instead of great evil. Hear that again. Before God promotes you into your place of influence of what God has for you, he wants to develop you so that when you're in that place of influence, you use that influence for great good instead of evil. Joseph eventually was brought before Pharaoh. Pharaoh had two dreams. They're pretty much one in the same. And 2 years later, after Joseph said, remember me, Pharaoh had a dream. God gave him a divine dream. And none of his wise men could interpret the dream, but the cupbearer said, hey, there's a man in prison. He interpreted correctly my dream. And he has the ability to interpret dreams. I would recommend you go get him. So Pharaoh summoned him, and he told Joseph the dreams. And Joseph said, I can't interpret dreams, but God can. And he's given me the ability to understand what is in your heart. There's going to be a great famine in the land that last 7 years. But before that 7 years of famine, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. So I recommend that you hire somebody that will save a bunch of food throughout the land during the 7 years of plenty. And then when the 7 years of famine come, you can use the rations that were saved over the 7 years of plenty to save Egypt from this great famine. And Pharaoh said, that's a great idea. I'm going to promote you to do it. And Joseph became second in command of all of Egypt, became the most powerful person under Pharaoh in the land. And he saved all of Egypt from the great famine. 2 years, or 7 years after the plenty, there was 2 years into the famine. And then Joseph's brothers and family who had sold him into slavery had to go to Egypt because they were starving and they needed food. And when Joseph saw his brothers after 22 years, he was 17 when he was sold into slavery. He was now 39 years old. This is what he says to his brothers, Genesis 45, 3 through 8. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all of Egypt. He was saying he was looking from a different vantage point. He had let go of the bitterness and the anger. And he learned through that time in prison, God was processing him so that he looked from God's vantage point instead of a human vantage point. And he said, it was not you who sent me here. It was God who sent me ahead of you, because God had a divine plan, not only to save Egypt, but to save our family, the Israelite nation, so that our generations can go on and ultimately the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, came from that lineage. Could it be that God is processing you and developing you under the trial and circumstances you're under? And instead of getting angry, he wants you to persevere and stay the course, because in a moment's time, he's going to open the floodgates of heaven and you'll step into your purpose. But you'll be ready. You'll be equipped and prepared not to get even with people, but to carry God's heart of mercy and compassion for people in our world that need it. You see, Joseph looked through a different lens, a lens of compassion, a lens of mercy, a lens of grace. He extended mercy to his family and saw a greater future for his family. But that all happened because he was processed and he stayed the course. So I want to encourage you to stay the course. King David was not king at the beginning. He was a shepherd boy. And God had put a calling on his life to one day be a king, and he was anointed to be a king. And right before he became king, he went through the darkest season of his life. He was living in the Philistines, in the land of the Philistines, because the nation of Saul, the king of Israel, was pursuing his life, and so he was on the run, and he was there. And while there, he was sent back from going out to battle with the Philistines, and while he and his men were going back to his hometown, which where he was staying, they noticed it was burning. And while it was burning, they went back and they saw that the Amalekite, this raiding party of the Amalekites, came and they took all their children, all their wives, and all their possessions. And they went back and they were filled with such hopelessness, David and his men. And his men contemplated stoning David for what had happened. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't get so hopeless. He sought God in the midst of his adversity and difficulty. And God spoke to him and said, go after the raiding party. I will help you gather back everything that was yours. Nothing will be lost. And that's exactly what happened. While he was doing that, the Philistines went to battle with the Israelites and killed Saul and his sons. 3 days later, David was anointed to be king of Judah, bringing to pass the fulfillment that he was spoken over by Samuel, the prophet, when he was a young shepherd boy. And God brought to pass what he had promised David right before the greatest victory was the greatest level of opposition. So many times in our lives, the greatest opposition is right before a major breakthrough. And God is saying, don't give up. Don't quit. Persevere. Keep going forward. There's better days ahead. He has a good plan. Well, the same was true in my own life. I work for Destiny Rescue, a great organization, and I used to live overseas in Thailand. But God stirred my heart to come back to the United States and open our first West Coast office. And while I was out in California starting this new operation for us, it took longer than what we initially thought. And they were happy, the leadership in the U.S. was happy with what was happening, but they kept pressuring me because they were like, there should be more funds coming in than what's currently coming in. And one day they called me into their office, and I said, Corey, we think you're doing a great job, but we think we're overpaying you. We're going to cut your salary a third of what we're paying you. And I said, well, I'm already in a lease. We already promised what the salary would be, and if you cut it that much, I can't even survive in California. And so I was like saying to myself, this is so unjust and unfair. And so I reached out to our international founder and president. I said, I'm not trying to tattletale on anybody, but if my salary gets cut, I just have to let you know I can't work for Destiny Rescue anymore because I need to survive. Having faced a financial collapse in my past, I don't want to go back to that dark season of my life. And so I would do anything I needed to do to keep from going back there. And so he said, okay, well, there has to be it's not just up to me. There's a vote that has to happen on the board, and I'm one vote. So I was like, okay, well, God, do what you do. And God had put in my heart that I would still work for Destiny Rescue and that he would open doors for me that no man could shut. And all of a sudden, I faced a major battle. Well, while this was happening, my lease ended, and I had to decide, do I stay in this lease or do I move out? I made the decision to move out while they could figure out what they were going to do with my salary. And I had to end up moving in with a friend of mine in his room above his garage that's disconnected from the house. So anytime I wanted to go to the restroom or anything, I had to open the garage door, unlock their main front door to go into the restroom. It was not a good situation. And beside that, the room I was in was above the garage. And it was 100 degrees outside with no air conditioning. And the carpet was disgusting, greasy carpets. And I didn't even feel like stepping on it with my bare feet. It was so gross. And I remember thinking, this is so unfair. I feel ripped off. I feel cheated. And in the midst of that, I went to an event in Phoenix with our company car. And on the way back, the air conditioning broke. And it was 110 degrees outside. And I was literally sweating like nobody's business. So I contacted my leadership, and they said, you cannot get it fixed. And so I would go to these meetings driving on the 5 in California, the 405, and it's stop-and-go traffic on concrete with 100 degrees outside. And I would have the windows down, but when I would get a phone call, I'd have to roll up the windows, and it would be just sweating like nobody's business. So I remember just sweating like crazy. And a friend of mine, I remember saying, I am so frustrated. I feel mistreated. I feel devalued. I quit. That just felt so powerful. I quit. And praise God for my friend who had godly wisdom. He said, well, Corey, you know God spoke to you to work for the organization. Did he tell you to quit? I go, no. Nope. But that makes me really mad. He goes, you know what I think you need to do? You need to die to all this stuff. They can't steal your joy. They can't make you unhappy. That's a choice you give them. You give them the power to make that happen to you. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Regardless of your situation, regardless of your trials, it is a choice to choose joy because it's an empowerment from the Holy Spirit, knowing that God is for you and he loves you and he believes in you. And I remember getting off the phone with him and getting on my knees and saying, God, it's just yes. If you want me to live in this room the rest of my life, I can be happy. If you want me to have that car that has duct tape all over it because we can't afford to fix it and the air conditioning broke, I can do it with a great attitude. And I can serve my current leadership with a great attitude because that is what you have called me to do. They are my leaders. You've put them there and you've empowered them to be my leaders. And I can serve them with a great attitude regardless of how I am treated. I choose to trust you that when you want this season to end, it will end. But until then, I will serve you faithfully and honor you. It wasn't a month later that everything changed. Before your greatest victory comes your greatest battle. And God is looking to see how we will respond. They're tests. It's not the enemy. They're tests from God to see how our character is. Are we willing to trust him in the hard seasons of life, trusting that he is faithful, that he does bring to pass what he says he will bring to pass? And so they made a decision on the board to keep my salary the same. They said, you're doing an incredible job. We love you and we believe in you. Check. You can move out of wherever you're living. And I found the most incredible apartment I got to live in. Check. Today, we have an incredible partnership with Mazda. We have all new fleet of Mazdas on our team. And God has proven himself over and over again. I got promoted to my old boss's position and then a promotion and a promotion. And today, I'm Destiny Rose's chief spokesperson for the organization all over the country. And here's the kicker. I almost gave all of that up. I was so close to a victory and almost forfeited all of it, where I'm now a voice on behalf of millions of children making the greatest impact I've made in my entire life, almost before I got started. And there's so many of us, we believe the lie of the enemy that God can't resurrect a situation, God can't part the Red Sea. We believe lies and we remain bitter, frustrated, angry, and resentful. And we say, no one's going to treat me this way. I'm not doing it. Up yours. I'm walking out. And I want to encourage you today to stay the course, persevere. There's better days ahead. God has a great future for you. And it's in the trial, it's in the challenge that you get prepared to ultimately use the influence and the resources you have for great good. I had a position in our organization where I had many staff under me at this point. And guess what? I wanted to treat them differently than I was treated. Your processing equals great good for somebody else in the days ahead. So you might ask, well, how does that, let me share one slide to you. Slide, Psalm 23:4 says this, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. The key is, don't stay in the valley. Walk with God through the valley. Don't get stuck. Trust God and he will see you through the valley onto your final destination. Amen. So how does that relate to the work of Destiny Rescue? Well, you guys have been partnering with our organization for over 2 years now. And because of that faithful partnership and you persevering with us, we have risked hundreds and hundreds and thousands of victims of human trafficking, many of them kids. And so I'm here today. I want to share with you and just say thank you for your perseverance and your committed partnership. Because of you, many kids are saved. Since January 1 of this year, we've rescued 715 victims, many of them kids. That's because of you. Thank you. We've rescued 46 victims this last week, and the week before, 176 victims. Come on. On average, we're rescuing almost 4 to 5 victims a day now. That's because of you. And since you began partnership with us on June 4, 2017, 1,789 victims, mostly kids, have been rescued. That's possible because of you. You've caught the vision. You can go on. Brothels are being shut down. Hotels are being put out of business. Traffickers and brothel owners, they're being put in prison for life sentences, never able to hurt another child again. That's because of you. We have a success rate of 84% keeping kids out of the sex industry now, those that go through our programs. And many families and kids, they're coming to Christ as a direct result of you. So I just want to say thank you. You can go on to the next slide. So at least 1 million children are trapped in the commercial sex industry around the world. So our organization exists because we want to end child sexual slavery, to ensure every child everywhere can be free of sexual abuse and exploitation. And so that is why our organization exists, so that we can end child sexual slavery and ensure every child everywhere can lay their head on a pillow at night and sleep in a safe, loving environment. That's possible because of you. Go on. So we rescue. We have undercover agents that go in undercover, identifying children trapped in the commercial sex industry. We build relationship with them and what we call a soft rescue, where over time, as we build trust with them, we'll offer them rescue. We also work to do coordinated raids with top law enforcement agencies in the countries we work in, where we raid brothels and bars and beer gardens, all that kind of stuff, and we will rescue all victims of trafficking, we'll arrest the brothel owners and all involved in the trafficking of those kids and victims, and then we'll shut those places down. So that's a big part of what we do. So we rescue. So go on to the next slide. So we just won an award, I think last year, where from the DSI in Thailand, it's their equivalent of the US FBI, the top law enforcement agency in all of Thailand, is awarding us an award for our efforts in Thailand. So we work with top law enforcement agencies there. Go on to the next one. In the Philippines, again, we also won an award where we're working with top law enforcement agencies. And we are one of four organizations that are a part of a task force to help create stricter laws and provide influence in governing laws and law enforcement in this country. So we've rescued hundreds and hundreds of children here in the Philippines. In fact, 2 weeks ago, our largest raid ever took place there, where we rescued 156 victims out of labor trafficking. The government reached out to us asking for our help. So amazing. Go on. This is the Attorney General in the Dominican Republic. The third most powerful person in the Dominican Republic this week signed an MOU allowing us to do coordinated raids with law enforcement agencies in that country. And so we're gaining ground there as well. Just a big win for us that took place. Go on to the next one. And then you guys support our home in this country of Cambodia. And we've been working on this for 3 or 4 years to do an MOU where we could work alongside law enforcement to do coordinated raids in this country. And 2 weeks ago, it was signed that we could do that. And that's what's happening here. And so God has given us enormous favor in the countries that we're working in. We're one of the largest anti-trafficking organizations in the world today, providing justice for children, men and women as well. Like in these coordinated raids, we're rescuing lots of women, some men, and children. And so how is that possible? Because of you. Thank you. Go on to the next one. We don't just rescue, we restore. And so part of what we do is we have safe homes and community care programs where once children are rescued, they get professional Christian-based counseling, education, vocational training. We want to empower them. So once they're rescued and they get reintegrated, they can support themselves, their family. They have the tools and the healing needed so they can go on to live fruitful, successful lives back in their communities. And again, we have an 84% success rate of keeping kids out of the sex industry once we rescue them. Go on to the next one. This is a village that you guys support. It's part of the home, the Elevate City Church home that you guys are supporting in Cambodia. I was there 2 weeks ago. And in this village, there's a 15-year-old girl that we rescued out of a beer garden. She was being exploited and taken advantage of sexually. She was 15 years old. Her parents were like, "We need your help to go work." And she felt the weight and pressure of that. So she went to find a job. The only job she could find with her level of education was to work in a beer garden. And they were actually very happy that she could come in and work. And they pressured her to do more, and her virginity was taken. Destiny Rescue, one of our rescue agents, rescued her. I went back to her home to meet her and her family. And she was smiling ear to ear, filled with joy, because today the only thing required of her is she's getting an education today. And she has big dreams in her heart simply because of the fact that you guys are supporting our work and providing miracles like that to take place. You can go on to the next one. So This is actually the safe home that you guys support. It's the gate, and it's on the inside, not the outside, but the inside. So this is inside their property. And I love this scripture. She is far more precious than rubies. God cares about these kids. They have intrinsic worth and value, and they are worth going after and rescuing. They're worth defending. Isaiah 61 says this, "For I, the Lord, love justice." And you guys have caught God's heart to defend those that can't stand up for themselves, giving them back their dignity and respect where they feel the love and value of God. And so that house is flourishing. There's actually 45 girls in that project that's in the home and in the community care that you guys are supporting and providing miracle after miracle for. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you. You can go on to the next slide. Part of our work is to do prevention work. And one village we've been supporting for a year in Thailand, I had the wonderful privilege 2 weeks ago to go provide clean drinking water to this village for the first time ever. We provided a water filtration system. So this cup of water on your left is what they were drinking for 60 to 70 years. Many of them would get sick, have to go into the hospital. And the one on the right is the pastor in the village drinking the first cup of clean drinking water. So amazing. The reason that this is such an important issue is when village people who have no margin for error get sick and go into the hospital, they accrue debts that they can't pay back. And what happens is they feel the pressure and the weight of that and responsibility to pay back a debt. So they will send their kids out looking for work to help pay off that debt where they're easily tricked and coerced. And so our efforts are eliminating those risk factors in this village. Prevention is better than a cure. You guys are helping make that possible. Stuff just like this all the time. So thank you. Next slide. So Elevate City Church, you guys have been supporting our work for 2 years. And I just want to say thank you. I hope that you see the impact you're making is an eternal difference in the lives of children and their families. It's not just affecting them, but future generations to come. And so I want to say, keep going, keep partnering with us because you truly are making a difference. And so on behalf of the kids in our care, I want to say thank you. And many of you individually are doing the same thing. And I also want to say thank you to you for the sacrifices you're making to ensure justice for kids just like this. But some of you today, God's stirring your heart to actively get involved with us on an individual level. And I want to invite you to become a rescue partner for any monthly amount. You can support our work, whether that's $5, $15, $25, $100. Everyone's yes is different. If you want to support our work, there's applications, rescue partner applications out on our table outside on the patio. I'll be out there. Some of our representatives will be out there. I just encourage you, take that, fill it out, and hand that in to us. Or you can take it home and sign up online. The key is this, that you would respond to what God's leading you to do individually. Everyone's yes is different. But my heart is that you would obey God so that more kids than ever can be rescued, restored, and fulfill the life and purpose that God died to give them in Jesus' name. You can also purchase handcrafted jewelry out there that's been made by girls that we've rescued. All that money goes back into our organization to help us rescue and restore kids. And there's a lot of great information out there that me and one of our representatives would love to talk to you about and make that possible for you. So again, thank you, persevere, stay the course, and you will become all that God wants you to be. Amen. Well, I want to open this up to those who have never committed their life to a personal relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. God has, throughout time, wanted a relationship with man, with individuals, a personal relationship. He wants to communicate with you as you communicate with him. Pour out to him your heart's desires and whatever. But there's something that separates all humans from a relationship with God. The Bible calls that sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. It's separation, eternal separation, forever from God. But God still wanted a way for man to be in relationship with him. So in the fullness of time, he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to earth. He lived a sinless life. He died a horrible death, taking upon himself the weight of sin of all the world so that he was thinking of you and me and our brokenness, our mistakes. He had that on his mind when he went to that cross for you, and he died a horrible death, a sinner's death, a shameful, humiliating death for you and me. And then he rose from the dead, conquering the shame of sin and guilt and shame, so that you and I could be in a relationship with him. He's ticking at people's hearts right now because he's wooing you to himself. He's saying, come, be part of my forever family. I love you. I believe in you. I have a future and a hope for you. I have such a good plan. And I want you to experience the fullness of what I died to give you, not only on this earth, but forever and eternity with God in heaven. It's really simple. That's not enough just to know that truth. You have to personally, as an individual, receive that for yourself. And you have to say, I want that. I want that. So as an act of faith, you just pray a simple prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart. He will come in and dine with you, and he will make you new. Your sin will be paid for, and the peace of God will flood your heart. Many people say they experience this heavy weight lifted off of them for the first time in their life. They feel this guilt and shame has lifted. That's Jesus coming into your heart and wiping away your sin. If you want that, I'm going to, in the count of three, I'm going to ask you to do something bold, to raise your hand and say, I want to receive Jesus Christ into my heart. If that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. You've never made that decision. I see hands going up all over. People are saying they want Jesus in their life to forgive them of their sin. This is the best decision you could ever make. I'm holding out, friends. Anybody who wants to, you can raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Keep it up a little bit longer. Okay, awesome. There's some amazing things about to happen. So in your heart, just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe you are the Son of God who died on a cross, who rose from the dead, conquering sin. Please come into my heart and forgive me. I have wronged you, but I trust in your forgiveness. I trust in your power. I trust you to lead me this day forward. Help me to get to know you and help me walk with you. Bring people into my life that can encourage me to know you and to walk with you this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.